Arrive and Thrive would like to begin by first acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land of which we recorded this podcast and extend our respect to elders, past, present, and emerging. I have a monkey mind, which means I get distracted and lose my thoughts easily. So I'd like to talk to you about Notion, a productivity software that allows you to track projects and the other cool stuff. I've been using Notion for about a year now and have loved the freedom it gives me in my business. I'm a proud Notion affiliate as it is my one-stop shop for the back end of my business and my brain when I'm not using my brain. Does that make sense? I didn't think so. See what I mean by a monkey mind? I use Notion as a database and a way to track my programs, clients, and projects. If you're looking for a digital tool for your team, personal use, or business, you can check it out on our affiliate link in the episode description. Start today and get organized for tomorrow. Hello and welcome back to another episode. First and foremost, I want to express my deepest gratitude to each and every one of you for being part of our growing Arrive and Thrive career podcast family. That was a bit of a mouthful. Your support means the world to me and I truly appreciate your valuable time and attention. If you're finding value in our content and haven't already done so, I want to invite you to hit that subscribe button and become a regular part of our community. Also, feel free to leave a little review as well if you're that way inclined. Your subscription and review is a vote of confidence in what I do, and it fuels my passion to deliver the best content possible to help you and others thrive in their career. To subscribe, simply click the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform, and you'll be in the loop with each new release. Now let's arrive and thrive together and have a little roar. Happy National Careers Week, everyone. Welcome to a live Arrive and Thrive career podcast, the first that we've ever done, which is pretty special for National Careers Week. And before I get going here, I'd just like to acknowledge that we are recording on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. And I feel very privileged to be doing this face-to-face with a fine gentleman, Craig Eastwood. How you doing, Craig?
I'm doing well. Privileged, is it? That's the honour's all mine, Tyson.
Too kind, mate. And we're here to, I suppose, talk about Moresby, talk about how I personally use Moresby in my own practice, and also to probably give people and listeners an understanding of what the profile can do and its many use cases as well. So it's good to be here.
It is. And yes, welcome to National Careers Week. And I think the main thing around Moresby and when you and I first came up with this idea, as wacky as it is, you know, working without a net, is really to say, look, national careers and putting the discussion of careers and the tool of Moresby in the hands of practitioners. Mm. So looking at, okay, we have a wonderful tool. It's the bedrock of career guidance as a practice. So how can we have a discussion about its many uses across varying environments?
Fantastic. Now, before we go down that road, Craig, I want to ask you, do you think National Careers Week is a bit like Christmas? Because, like, do you wake up Monday with, like, you know, yes, National Careers Week as career practitioners or careers educators?
I would say yes.
Yes.
But this because I had butterflies ahead of this recording. But, yep. But also it's a way where you're getting, kind of a really concentrated block of the latest thinking, the latest understanding of just how connected the community is and how tapped in you can be. So it's a wonderful, like, choose your own adventure.
Mm.
And I think that throughout this week and hopefully the discussions that will follow is really that sense of we're in it together and the rising tide lifts all boats.
Mm, so love so that. Yes. Rising yes. tide lifts
so,
all boats.
So like Christmas in May.
Yep.
Perhaps.
Now, mates, before we tee off officially with, you know, what Moresby is and things like that, why don't you share a little bit with the listeners around who you are and your role and what enabled you to be in this position to talk about Moresby?
Yeah, the wonderful long and the short. So we all wear multiple hats, and in some cases we have hat stands. But My role as a career project manager is to continue the wonderful work that Barry Darnell of Career Analysts started 20 years ago by bringing Moresby into Australia in in pen and paper form.
The godfather of Moresby Australia.
That's right.
Some call him.
So, yeah, what he's forgotten about psychometrics, I could only imagine. I was a bit of a Padawan learner underneath Barry and continued to tap into him as a resource. But when he retired at the end of 2023, Moresby UK looked for a partner to continue the distributorship of the platform. And I, along with Penny Dore and Karen Pritchard, who leads the My Career Insight program, that hugely successful Victorian state government initiative to provide a career profile to or make it available to all year nines. And they've done that now into its sixth year. So you can imagine the incredible data set. And so there was this alignment of a not-for-profit industry, you know, an association that is a member of the peak body coming together and then continuing on promoting and furthering the vocational tool, which is Moresby. And so I work alongside those in the MCI to provide a local, support base for practitioners, teachers, students, and then even, career advisors that are training and becoming qualified.
Fantastic. Awesome. And listeners, to give a little bit more perspective for those who are new to the Arrive and Thrive Career Podcast, my name's Tyson. I'm the co-founder of Arrive and Thrive, and we've been doing the podcast now for about 5 years, which is wild. A little bit more technology focused than we first started. So it's awesome to be here. I think this will be our episode 99, actually, when it's released. So, which will be cool. So you're going to get, for those who subscribe to our platform, there'll be a recording of this going live on our platform later this week, which is pretty cool. And we work with schools around Australia with supporting them with career development and career education workshops. So we support a lot of career councils in schools and young people, helping them develop meaningful careers. And Moresby is a big part of that process, which is why I'm stoked here today to talk to you.
Then just maybe if you want to elaborate. So how did Moresby come about for you, and why did you say, okay, I could do, offer many services.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Moresby part of, your toolkit?
Yeah, good question. So when I first started career counselling, this was back in 2016, give or take, I was familiarising myself with a few different tools and some consulting work that I was doing at a school at the time used the Moresby profile, actually at an independent school at the year 10 level to help support career choices and pathway discussions as well as subject selection. And that was my first introduction to it. I did the training with Barry, I think back, halfway through 2017, and then kind of realized the power of the profile. And in that particular setting, I was only using a very small part of the profile. And then when I started to offer that to my own personalized clients, and my own, mature age professionals too, that were considering using a diagnostic tool, that's when I started to really understand the true power of it.
Yeah. So just on that, I mean, we kind of touched on what is this wonderful thing called Moresby, or at least I feel it's wonderful. So you mentioned diagnostic and things like that. So for those people who are like Moresby, sometimes I joke and say, is it a verb or a noun? Moresby is actually goes right back to John Moresby back in the 1950s, who looked at differential abilities. So those preferences that we have about how we relate to the real world around us. So Moresby takes, a series of assessments and questionnaires. So the assessments are the psychometric, looking at, the wonderful world of verbal, numerical, abstract, you know, spatial mechanical reasoning. And then it blends the data about you personally, mm-hmm. how your work style, your study interests, and puts a blend of career suggestions forward. So that's right. So you're trying to capture and then lay out a framework or a map for people then to go on exploration. So how have you found the applicability going from, secondary school students into beyond?
Hello, friends. When I'm not hitting record here on the podcast, I'm delivering career management and life design workshops in schools. So far, we've supported over 45,000 individuals and counting since starting in 2019. We're in 100 schools across Victoria, a few in New South Wales, and a couple in Queensland. But we still have so much more to do. Growing our community member base is a huge focus for us, as our mission is to help all young Australians develop meaningful careers and live a fulfilling life. If we can teach young people important career management and life skills early, we hope that these skills will serve them well into their life post-school. Hooray! If you're a teacher, educator, principal, or school leader looking to add a little extra career education and entertainment to the curriculum, check out our workshops at arrivethrive.com.au. You can download our program brochure, learn about our workshops, see our prices, and read what teachers and students have said about us and how we can support your community. Thanks again for tuning in.
I think one of the big things that we focus on at Arrive and Thrive is that it's a start in the career conversation. So when we're working with high school students, as you said, like the aptitudes piece, the interests, our work style, work environment, like some of those change and evolve as we get older. And so whenever we're framing the Morrisby profile, we say this is a snapshot of you in time at this particular moment. And so when it comes to if we're working with school students, quite often they'll literally jump on their profile and go straight to the career suggestions.
Yeah.
And our private clients do the same thing. Because people, you know, it's juicy. They go, okay, cool. What are my career suggestions? What should I do? Yeah. And whenever someone's using the profile for us, it's like the first point of call. It's like if we're prescribing the profile to someone who's had a few years out of high school or they've had a few years of work under their belt, they're at square one in terms of they're not sure around what they want to do. Like they've got multiple things going through their mind, or they're just completely unsure around what their skills and interests and their personality may align with.
Yeah, it's a great touch point to say, you know, if you're dealing with a student as they do in the government school, so this, you know, unpacking of around 36,000-37,000 profiles every year, you get the parents who are really intrigued about, does this confirm that, you know, my son or daughter is going to be the next doctor or astronaut, or do people, you know, sometimes they think, oh, look, I already know where I want to go. And for me, I think it's fine. If you're steadfast on a direction, then perhaps Morrisby can be confirmatory.
Mm.
The flip side is, as we see that careers are emerging. So sometimes when we're talking to practitioners, it's around, or what's the relevance and the currency in today's world of Morrisby? And it's, well, the people that are supporting the program in the UK and locally are updating curricula or updating pathways, linking it to Australian content. And so, you know, the report, yes, it's a static report, but the Morrisby platform as an account holder, amazingly functional and interactive. The more you put into it, the more you explore, the more you favour it.
Yeah.
And you're right, you know, as you change and mature over a period of time, retake some of the questionnaires and change your focus areas and pathway options.
Absolutely. Like, Craig, I look at my interest when I was in Year 10 and I can't actually remember if I took I think I took a variation of the Morrisby assessment back in when it was grey lead and pencil, same thing.
Pencil. We call it pen and paper.
Pen and paper, yeah. There you go. And literally tallied up the numbers. And I still remember my career suggestions. Yeah. And it was a shepherd.
Yes.
A priest.
Yes.
And I'm not personally religious and I don't necessarily love sheep. Youth worker, personal shopper. Now, at the time, I wanted to just rip the test up and go, what a waste of time. That's not what I want. And as a young person, felt like pretty dejected. But it's quite funny. If you look at the themes of those careers, it's very much aligned with what I do now. So yeah. Like I work with youth,
yeah,
which I didn't necessarily know I wanted to do at the time.
Yeah,
I love public speaking, yes. Love being a part of the community, which I relate to what a priest does there. I also, personal shop is a bit of a curveball because I don't really like shopping, but I can, you know, comment on a good outfit if I see one. And then also the youth worker, the shepherd piece is interesting too because I love being in the outdoors and I actually studied outdoor education as my first career focus.
There you go.
So I think when we're talking to young people and also mature age people too who are wanting to have like a, I suppose some data in the conversation around their career possibilities, we want to look at the themes associated with that because, you know, those occupations, as you said, like those types of things are updating all the time.
Yeah.
And because of the future of work, it's unpredictable. We need to focus on the themes and I suppose our strengths, which Moresby can identify as well, traits of our personality that are suited to some jobs as well. I'm a natural extrovert. I get to talk all the time for work, so it suits me and it brings me energy as opposed to someone who perhaps find those types of work environments more difficult.
Yeah, and just to, I suppose, further contextualise, Moresby in Australia, there's a cultural overlay that is Australian. So while a lot of, there are Moresby in the UK and they have their own cultural influences. So there's a Scottish, there's the Welsh. And so for Australia, it's very much when you go in and you look at the resources that are there and the types of occupations, very much, looking at not only Australia, but then individual states. So there's that whole, you can feel very comfortable with the effort that's given to that. But I was really interested in what you were saying, and we've mapped out a few areas to discuss, was around you don't have a, let's say, a great preference, maybe still using that, around some of the ways in which the validation, the theory of, what went into the Moresby platform. So for those who are interested, differential ability tests and the battery of standardized psychometrics, they have been well researched. So Glenn Fox, David Kolb, Anne Rowe, and Moresby itself looked at the Moresby type indicator. So a lot of people quickly jumped to Myers-Briggs in terms of, am I a, TGIF kind of profile. And so, the work that John Moresby did and that was furthered by Malcolm Moresby, really kind of looks at all that kind of, so there's that reassurance that, over the 50 plus years, all that testing and all those algorithms are further refined to provide that, hopefully, that good match for you as a career advisor when you're talking with your client, your student, your candidate, whatever you may have.
Well, it's funny because when I redid the profile, so I did it back in high school.
Yeah.
And then when I did it when I was training back in 2016, 2017, careers counsellor, I had an 85% rating on my profile, which is my profession.
Well, there you go.
Proof is in the pudding.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes we would love to have these longitudinal studies that confirm this. But it comes back to this is a exploratory piece, that it's a choose your own adventure, that it's strength-based and very positive. What I wanted to touch on, you said you were witness to a bit of an epiphany earlier in the week.
Yes.
What, literally as we say in the Moresby business, unpack that for me.
Yeah. Spoken like a true Moresby professional.
Thank you.
Yeah, so listeners, I had a really cool feel-good moment and a bit of a a light bulb moment with a client I was working with this week. And he referred to this moment for him as like a reset and in his career. And he was mid-30s and he had faced some challenges in some of his work life and his personal life. And he just really wanted some context around what are the options that he could consider, because he hadn't done anything like the Morrisby previously, was a little bit of a lost cause around what options he had in terms of qualifications, career pursuits, things like that. And so when he completed the profile, we were unpacking some of the sections, and he found that his interests section in the profile was completely spot on. His personality was completely spot on. And we know that with the career suggestions, it's a three kind of a pyramid of your interests, your personality, and your aptitudes. His aptitudes, once I was able to explain to him around that he had more of a strength in that practical space, that really resonated for him too. And so he was originally kind of playing around with the idea of wanting to step into powerlifting, coaching and fitness instructing. And he also was considering stepping into like some social work and youth space. And so we had a really positive experience because it affirmed that those were the types of things that he could potentially thrive in based on his interest, based on his personality. And this came about through, you know, conversation when we were unpacking the profile. And then when we saw those career suggestions in his profile, it was like that extra bit of confidence for him to take that next step, to use it as like a whiteboard of what his beliefs already were around what he could see himself doing. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely does. And what it flags to me in my mind is, you know, looking at you as a private practitioner. Obviously, I've gone on your Arrive and Thrive website, and you actually have a product where people can go in and learn a little bit about interpreting or at least getting that first indication of what a Morrisby profile would mean for them. But importantly for the practitioners that are listening, it's not a daunting process to become Morrisby certified. Mm. What we do in Australia is that it's a two-stage training and certification process. And the great thing is, stage one is you get to do your own Morrisby profile. So,
fantastic stage.
You may be a sheep herder or a surf like surf lifesaver, or as it showed up for me, it was a policy analyst.
There you go.
So watch out, you know, government white papers. but that's stage one, and then the stage two is, you know, it's a 4-hour investment of your time to understand the theoretical underpinnings of Morrisby. So, you know, giving, you know, a sporting analogy to the verbal, numerical and abstract aptitudes, but it allows you then to understand how to manage your own Morrisby Manager Center. So when you're, you know, requesting that someone completes their profile or you want to gain access to their reports in advance of or at the time of doing an unpack or a careers interview, you then can feel confident about understanding the shape of those profile, the profiles that are presented, and being able to, as you've done with social worker power lifter, is to say, yeah, look, these are viable options to you, and maybe give them confidence when they're networking, when they're preparing for a job interview. So those other kind of, you know, using the career guidance vernacular of those interventions that you take when you're working with a young person or a career transition. Mm. So yeah, really, really good example there of again, basing your conversation, basing that starting point around something that is personal, that is kind of aspirational, yet realistic in terms of going in and finding your pathway.
That's it. And I think there's, you know, we focus a lot on the aptitudes piece, the interest piece and the personality, but there's a lot of other really valuable insights on the profile that I find not only students but, yeah, career transition individuals and more mature age people too can really relate to as well. Like with the priorities piece, I always change that around from a values perspective. So how do we go about making decisions when it comes to our career choices? Like what are we prioritizing? Are we prioritizing perhaps financial reward or security or leisure time within our work choices and our work style? Some people have more of a preference for bigger organizations, where some people might have more of a preference to go down that road of entrepreneurship or freelance. And that can be really valuable for more career transition individuals, because maybe they've had a little bit of experience in that, those bigger organizations or a smaller business, and maybe they haven't necessarily thrived in that. And that could be a great conversation angle within the profile unpack.
Yeah. And I like how you use the word career decision making, and it's about presenting options and then discussing, okay, again, as you said, you've mentioned in other podcasts, it's having a map and then being able to, okay, as you go through various or down various paths, you can come to an intersection point and then, you know, hey, if you need to circle back or pivot or tact, you can do it. So just want to do some quick fire questions here.
Craig,
for you,
please, right? I love a bit of quick fire.
Quick fire. So in your mind, is Morrisby a test or an assessment?
We don't use either language at Arrive and Thrive. We refer to it as a profile. So we say when someone's doing their profile, they're profiling. And then because we find that sometimes if we say test or assessment, we want the individual who's about to do it to go in with an open mind. And sometimes the people that we're working with haven't had the most enjoyable times in an assessment or test environment. For me personally, I would just classify prior to that realization from our end in terms of profiling and profile, I would refer to it as an assessment. What would you say?
For me, it's assessment. Because we're not looking at a pass fail.
Yeah, cool.
So, you know, we're not looking at an exam type situation where it's a predetermined set of questions or problems designed to test knowledge or skills. Right? That's something you can kind of train. Whereas an assessment is we want to understand the nature of the character, the underlying, you know, preference towards something. And so for the individuals, and sometimes we get the questions about, oh, you know, is it available in a different language? And at the moment, you know, in Australia, no, it's not. It's in English, because we want to get an understanding of how you as, you know, an individual is going to, you know, relate in the so-called real world. So the idea is that, you know, if you are an EAL student or other kind of, you know, you have...
Where English is their second language.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That, you know, there are ways in which, I wouldn't say that, you know, that the profile can be assigned that help in those discussions. But ultimately, you know, we want to understand, you know, when you're not in that assessment environment, what's gonna work for you. So more of an assessment than an exam. What about when you get the student who puts his hand up and says, I'd rather do my own research, you know, and come to my own conclusions rather than do an online program like Morrisby?
Well, we say that's a good mindset already, but Morrisby can aid in the process. So we always refer to it as that map and that breaking the ice in the conversation. So we talk a lot about breaking the ice in career conversations, and part of that for a young person could be something like, hey, if you don't agree with your profile, that's cool. Why not? And so let's retake those sections. Let's see if we can get further alignment there.
Right.
I'm not really giving you quick answers, am I?
No. But
careers are complex.
But Tyson, I already know what I want to do with my career. This is a waste of my time and my parents' money.
Ah, well, I would say this is a perfect time to validate if what you want to do is something that aligns with your personality, your interests, your strengths, your natural work style. So again, we get a lot of young people who might say, oh, what I want to choose didn't come up in my, or what I want to do after school didn't come up in my career suggestions. And so you can use functions like searching the career individually. And again, if you don't get that 100% rating that a lot of students are looking for, that's okay. There might be a reason behind that we haven't considered in terms of that decision.
Okay. As a In a school environment, the students, and this is going to the question about how long the Morrisby profile takes, and effectively, you know, in a school environment, we administering the profile typically takes about 2 hours. There are some scheduled breaks, and the preceding those breaks are open-ended, more untimed personality or study interest questionnaires. But for a career, like this mature age person, what were your instructions to them about taking the profile?
Yeah, so I actually say take it over a weekend. So I when you're working with a career transition person or someone who's in that mature age bracket, and that I classify that as anyone who's a few years out of high school, and we generally have a better self-awareness around how we go in those types of profile or assessment situations. Mm. And I know for me, when I did it, I completed a few modules, then took a break, and then completed a few modules. And, you know, you don't want to do these things when you're tired or your kids are nagging at you or, you know, you want to be 100% present. Yeah. So if you've got the luxury to take the break that you need to feel fresh, go for it. So I generally say over a couple of days.
Yeah, perfect. And you know, preceding each of those aptitude sections, there are practice questions, and there's practice questions available mm-hmm. on the website. So yeah, we've launched. I suppose it's a really good time to kind of point out that Morrisby has its own Australian website. So www. Do we even say that anymore? Usually we just go straight into morrisby.com.
Just Google
dot au, or just Google search morrisby.com.au. The reason for that is one of the support tabs down the bottom, where you can get videos, tutorials, you know, the brochure on what is available. It's again, you know, looking at the products in which are supported in Australia at the moment. So we have you know, in a school setting, the Morrisby careers, those aspirational part questionnaires, and then the profile. If you're comparing the pair with the UK, the work experience element is there, and as well as Morrisby Hire, as we look to again maintain that connection with people. So the idea is that is now being experienced in Victoria with skills and job centres. They're taking on their own build of the Morrisby. So whether you're coming at it from a employment service provider, or whether you're in psychology, people are looking at Morrisby to augment what they do. And interestingly enough, given my career insights, we now have, you know, 140,000, 150,000 students that have a portable, in inverted commas, profile ready to walk into Arrive and Thrive or the next career practitioner to say, oh, yeah, I do have that profile. You know, can I share it? Can I access it? So putting you on the spot, are you prepared for the person who walks up to you and says, hey, Tyson, I've got a profile. Can I, you know, do you know much about it yourself as a practitioner? You know, is that something you've encountered to date?
Yeah, like I think it's cool because it's especially in Victoria, like the awareness of Morrisby is really funneling through the education system, and we'll get a lot of, say, parents or people, guardians who have said, you know, my young person is currently completing this in high school.
Yeah.
My oldest didn't get the opportunity, or my cousin is interested. Like, we were talking about it over coffee and they want to do a profile. Or even parents, like, we get parents coming up and say, hey, can adults do this? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely they can. So it's cool because I think it's, as the world of work becomes more complex in terms of the opportunities that are evolving and the uncertainty in many fields, like, I think it's an appropriate tool and resource to help steer conversations. And let's not forget, Morrisby is also a really helpful research tool as well. Like, we've spoken a lot about the profile itself and using that as a career conversation starter. But by clicking on a lot of those suggestions, you're actually doing a lot of research around, you know, the ways to get qualified in that occupation or the trends and the different resources and media that are within those career suggestions. So I think it's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, precisely. So whether it, you know, you're a private practitioner, solo entrepreneur, or you're working with a number of career advisors, Morrisby then provides you exactly that, the reporting and statistics available in the background to get an understanding of, you know, what is impacting the people in that you're supporting, and then you can kind of, you know, look at ways in which, okay, what's working for you as a practitioner, what's really, you know, seeing that you're, you know, resonates with you, whether it's, you know, putting in standard templates for, you know, having an interview guide so that you're making sure you're asking those questions about, you know, study interests, career fields, and going into further depth. So that's terrific.
That's a really good point, because it can, if you're new to the profile, because of its so many different sections, its use cases, it can feel a little bit overwhelming as a practitioner, like anything when you're first learning. So being able to curate your own interview template, being able to understand and go into through the back end and understand certain sections. We're also a big fan of like the planner function too. So being able to encourage people to delete careers, favorite careers, and so they're starting to take a hold of it before the initial conversation too. So
yeah. So yeah, I mean, you're touching on the fact that the participant or the account holder, the person who's done the assessment, can then go in and say, I want to be an arborist, not working early child care. And then the algorithms then, you know, marry up to those situations. I wanted to talk to you about, and I've forgotten.
That's okay, man.
Straight off.
It's all right. We're doing it live, so we can't unfortunately edit that part out.
We can't edit that out, but at least it goes down as to, you know, what it's like live.
Yeah, that's it. You know, real life doesn't stop when you hit record. But one of the things I think that's an important piece to touch on too is, as a careers practitioner, like the definition of an effective careers practitioner, the way that I see it, is that you want your individual that you're working with to come to these realizations themselves. Yep. The last thing you want to be able to do the last thing you want to do is say you should do X or you should do Y. It's like you want them to be able to see the themes in the profile, and that's about, you know, educating the person with the profile why they've perhaps had those suggestions take place. So the reason why I think that's important is because, let's say as a practitioner, you've seen that they've perhaps deleted early childhood education, or they've deleted teacher, or they've deleted nurse, or they've deleted whatever occupation. Seeing that and understanding why they did that, even though it may be a high rating. So we know that because of career conversations, and quite often people can't be what they can't see. So they may have just had a poor experience in high school, which means that they never want to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, is that justification around that career decision? So being able to support someone through understanding their data, but also understanding why they've chosen certain careers and why they've deleted certain careers because of like the career stories that they tell themselves. So it can be a great tool to kind of break the ice on a bigger conversation, essentially.
Yeah, no, exactly. And thanks for bringing back the conversation.
That's what I do.
I had the light bulb that went off was around, you know, career practitioners who they've become qualified, they're finding their footing. It's around, you know, these discussions that we're having now happen every day at regional career networks through, you know, linkages into either ACE as a member organisation or the CDAA. And so, again, you know, there are people with that phrase, lived experience, that can certainly help. And lots of ways, for example, with the Morrisby, to create sample students to get those reps up, so that when you're looking at a report, that you're you're starting to understand how the suggestions are being proposed. So
yeah. And to be honest, like one of the ways I got my reps up too was I was fortunate that I was able to be involved with the My Careers Insights program when it first started, which was fantastic because it got my reps up in the Morrisby piece. But then, you know, when I first got the license, my wife took a profile and then I performed a career conversation unpack with her. And, you know, then I said, hey.
Brave.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a good experience for both of us actually. But then I said, you know, can you retake some, because there was a few sections she just didn't agree with because on the time she was a bit tired or a bit frustrated with probably me. But then she was able to retake some of those things. And then that was a part of the conversation as well. So it's like, hey, if you don't necessarily agree with this, retake that section. And that's the part we need to remember is that this stuff isn't set in stone. Like as we evolve as people, our career suggestions are going to change. Our career interests are going to change. Our right and wrong around our priorities is going to change. And that's an important thing to remember too.
Yeah. And life and situations and having to pivot and adapt to situations. In preparing for today.
Yeah.
I went through some of your back catalogue.
Oh, thank you.
On the
makes
podcast.
Me sound like a pop star.
That's right, your back catalogue, as we're having. So what I would like to do now is actually pivot to somewhere where you normally go, which is around, I don't know which order you want to do this first.
No, mate,
you want to go to the books or you want to go what we're roaring about?
Yeah, so to give listeners a context around what we're roaring about, this is a question that was first coined by my dear co-founder, Dan Lunardi, who unfortunately is no longer with us. He passed away in February 2022. And he was another careers counsellor who had a huge lust for life around our podcast, around why people chose certain things. And he coined this term, what are you roaring about?
Taco. I'm roaring.
Essentially what Dan was saying was, you know, what gets you up and about, what makes you pumped, as he would put it. So I think for me at the moment, mate, I'm really roaring about saunas, bit of a curveball there. I'm really enjoying getting in the sauna at the moment. It's winter, a little bit of heat therapy.
Lucky this is a podcast, not a...
That's it.
Wait a second, this is on a...
really enjoying, getting in, doing a little bit of breath work in the sauna, getting some heat therapy when it's cold. But again, and the little moments in life. I'm a young dad and my two daughters are doing some pretty magical things at the moment. So just cherishing those little moments as a young dad and then having my alone time in the sauna.
Oh, very, very good. Well, you know, I too am a father and I love my daughter very much. And what I'm roaring about at the moment is actually the vinyl craze.
Yes. It's come back, hasn't it?
So that kind of ability to put on a record to look at the artistic liner notes and to experience.
Do you read
sound.
the lyric charts?
Oh, sometimes I read the lyrics.
Yep.
But, you know, I just find now that there's this whole, aesthetic to vinyl. So I'm now, you know, reliving my past youth and also even other classic albums at the moment. So
yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing, they're quite expensive, aren't they? Like they went through like a bit of I remember when I started getting into it, I was like, $20, easy. 25, okay, cool.
Yeah.
55? Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
75?
Yeah. The key is, and you'll see this when you start like, oh, how can I build my vinyl collection? Mm. One of the first points is set yourself a budget.
Okay, cool.
Because, it can get pricey.
Yep.
But I think that just shows, you know, how you're going to go. You talked about career decision making. How do you prioritise that outlay? You know, is it real? Do you really need that classic album?
Hobbies are important,
but also what we touch on as well is books or a book that perhaps has influenced you in your journey.
Yeah.
So what's on the Tyson Day bedside table?
Well, at the moment, there's probably just a couple of surf mags, but. my two favorite books would be Lost Connections by Johan Hari, incredible book. And that really opened my eyes up around the importance of meaningful work with mental health.
Yep.
And so that's kind of the angle that we come at, which really kind of paved the way for my own career theory around helping individuals develop meaningful careers. So whatever meaning is for an individual. So phenomenal book, really good book. And then another one, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. I think that's how you pronounce their name. And that was a Dan Lenardi suggestion early on. He was like, bro, have you read The Alchemist? And I was like, no, I haven't. So checked it out. And it's, again, a beautiful story, like a beautiful fiction story around understanding your purpose. Yeah. So, yeah. Have you read any of those?
I have, but a very long time ago The Alchemist.
Yep.
What hit my bedside table and is actually probably still in my bookshelf as I frequently go up and get it is Principles by Ray Dalio. So setting out you know, an approach to life and to work, but then as I'd like to get stuff done and feel that, you know, I'm making good choices and good habits. Atomic Habits by James Clear. So, you know,
the 15 million copies sold, I think, worldwide or something like that. Like something bananas. You know,
I've bought a couple of those, 15, as well as the audio book. So yep. I dip in and out of that all the time as to try and just to make sure, okay, how am I going about things and continuing on from there. And talking about how we're going to continue on, what's on the you know, calendar of events for Arrive and Thrive as we look to turn over the calendar pages?
Yeah, so we are in full workshop mode. So term two, we're doing about 60 workshops in term two, which is cool. So seeing a lot of different schools around Victoria and also a few interstate, which is cool. But yeah, we're just in workshop and delivery mode. So apart from cool little things like this, we are, yeah, just facilitating seeing schools, seeing young people and, yeah, on that journey.
Very good. Well, I might meet you interstate. I'm actually heading up to Sydney.
Cool.
For the CAA conference on the 3rd of June. For the CDAA members, I'm going to be conducting a Morrisby for career practitioners. So that's now up on the CDAA calendar events in July, mid-July.
Cool.
If you already, you might know about the CDAA conference in October as well. That's in Melbourne this year, so I'll be making an appearance there. But whether we cross paths at a regional career network, whether we again do something crazy like this in the future, we'll see. But thanks for having me on the Arrive and Thrive podcast for
Mate.
Careers Week 2024.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure, Craig. You're a beautiful co-host, mate, and I love sitting down with people who are passionate about what they do, and you just ooze passion for the Morrisby and the work that you do, and it's important stuff because a lot of young people need those types of conversation and those tools at their disposal to make really informed decisions.
Terrific. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. If we'll just go over some of the links in that we've mentioned
over
the last 45 minutes. We'll put them in the show notes, as they say. But reach out to Tyson or myself if you've got any further questions or we haven't quite answered something you're hoping to be addressed today. Give us a shout.
Yeah, absolutely. Just come, you can visit arrivethrive.com.au and our email's there, or hello@arrivethrive.com.au, or feel free to connect with myself on LinkedIn as well. Always happy to have conversations and about careers, education,
surfing.
One of my passions. Yeah, surfing too.
You got any good record suggestions, let me know.
Yes.
All awesome. Right.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you very much, Tyson. Cheers.